You might like to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we have bowed head and heart in your presence. So take thy word, Spirit of God, honor yourself. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. If you would just think of, use your imagination, and if you would go and think of your a painting, a big painting up here, and on the painting is a little road, and then a person standing in the road. In the middle of the painting is the road and a person standing in it. That's you. Got that in your mind? That's you. Now, what's missing? Well, you're trying to get an understanding, and that in itself is not particularly helpful. But if we could get all the rest of the painting, with all of the grandeur and the mountains and the lakes and everything, and put that all together, little house and castle, everything, put that in there. Wow. Makes a difference, doesn't it? You're looking at your life on that road, and it's very little. Work, home, school, coming, going. You read the news and all the different stuff all over the place going on, and it's there, but very limited. But the big picture, it helps to have a big picture. We share together just one of the negative side. Just think of the world we live in. Think of North Korea and all of those, China and Pakistan and Iran, Iraq, and all of Russia, all of those nations. And we can look at Korea and try to figure out it as we shared in Sunday school. But we could come up with some thoughts of what to do and not do. But it's such a little piece that we have, because you've got to put all of those pieces together. And you've got to put them all in a big picture so you can see North Korea in the light of the everything. Otherwise, you'll make a mistake. So you've got to see the whole thing. God, what are we trying to do? We're trying to get your picture that you've given us in your word that we are part of right now in human history. And we're trying to get it so that we see you. We want to see the picture. Here we are, and we wonder what we're doing, why we're doing, how we're doing, who do we follow, what do we think of, what do we do, and, you know, and about everything, and living, and work, and retirement, and pain, and health care, and everything. God, we need the picture. And that's what we've been trying to do. And I'm going to pick up from Sunday school, go right on to 6 o'clock, and then that would prepare us for the evening baptismal. Hopefully, I'm just wandering as I do it. So I realize it isn't cut and dried, begin, end. It's sort of endless. It is endless. Because I keep thinking, so when is this going to end? Well, it'll end pretty soon, because I'm looking at the picture. I'm trying to help you understand the different. Do you understand the picture? You need to see the picture of where you are so you can understand why you're here. Why is the world like it is around you in every way, shape, and form? Now, having said that, Mark chapter 7, picking up from Sunday school. We share together, we have an old nature. And our old nature is ongoing. It never gets better. It'll never honor God. So if we're thinking of honoring God by our old nature, it isn't going to happen, as we read in Romans chapter 8, 6, 7, and 8. It cannot please God, will not please God, ever. So there's no sense in saying, we humans will do this, we humans will think that. You can do all that, but it's of the flesh. And it cannot please God. It never will please God. God said it will never please me. No flesh shall glory in my presence. So did anyone pay attention to what I said? No flesh shall glory in my presence. And I'm not going to honor it. But we're going to do it. That's right, worldliness. Worldliness is dominant, and it's our system. We count on it. We're born into it. We live in it, etc. Now, in the light of that, we shared together that the heart, from Galatians 5:20, among the other works of the flesh, is idolatry. It's part of us. All of these things are part of us. Mark chapter 7 adds, Mark chapter 7, picking up in verse 18. And he saith unto them, Are ye so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? Outside it can't get you. No, it's the inside, because it entereth not into his heart, but into his belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. In other words, you eat everything, and things that go in, things go out. Verse 20. And he said, That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. It's inside. What's inside? For from within, verse 21, out of the heart of man, inside us, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, and then underlying, because we're going to look at it, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, there it is. So you don't say, I don't want to be deceived. It's part of your makeup. It's part of your makeup. It'd be silly, I don't want to get deceived. It's part of me, part of you. It's your old nature. So what's the sense in saying I'm not going to be deceived when after all you carry it around with you? Every time you think, you see it. Now, after deceit, lasciviousness, and evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, all these evil things come from within and defile the man. So the problem is from within. Now the word defile, it means to catch with a bait. A bait, and to catch by using a bait, like a fish, the worm. You got it. Like a worm, and the fish sees the worm, but the hook's inside. It's deceived. It's a trick. The word trick, deceive, to catch by bait. One place of many, James chapter 1. James in chapter 1, picking up please. And you'll see it. James 1 and verse, if I can, verse 13. James 1:13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted, put to the proof, when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. There's the same word as deceive, to catch with a bait. Enticed, to catch with a bait. To catch with a bait. Enticed. Now, how do we get enticed? Well, the heart is deceitful, to catch with a bait. The heart presents deceit, but the heart is easily caught up in deceit because it's part of our nature. That's why worldliness, pleasures, pain, sex, everything, why does that win? Because it's like bait, worms on a hook, and it draws us in. We're caught. We're caught in the system. We're caught, enticed. We are attracted. We're lured into the system. And the heart is deceitful. That's right. It's caught up. You say, it isn't. Yes, it is. Isn't that beautiful? I would like to have that. Boy, that looks like good. I'm looking at the French, is it a French? French bakery kind of thing. I'm looking through the window at the French bakery and all the stuff there. And I say, boy, does that look good. Bait. Caught up. allurement, attraction. Ah, now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so worldliness, using the world the way the uses the way of using that which is in the world. We use the world, which requires people to do something, with the laws of nature, with science, with everything, with creation, with growth, with food, with everything, buildings and everything. And that's all found, and God has provided it in creation so that we have all of the wonderful ingenuity. And we don't do something where every a thing that man uses in its creativity, electronics, electricity, all of that is God-created. And we've been able to tap onto it and use all kinds of wonderful things, dynamic forces and et cetera, and be able to do all kinds of things because we use the laws and understand them, and we've been able to design equipment and everything to use it all. Such is good and meant to be used, but when the heart is caught up with such and such things, we forget God, and we get all caught up, that which came from God belongs to God. We forget all about that. And when we forget about God being caught up, every time, without reading it right at the moment, you're going to lose the Father. Every time you get caught up in the hook, you lose the Father. God is going to say it every time. You're going to lose me. You're caught up in the world. I hate the world. And when you love me, you can't love the world. The minute you take the bait wrongly, you have to use it. It's part of it. And God made it, as we'll see in a sec. And we aren't over to see it. Over to 1 Corinthians 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. God meant it. God meant it, designed it, gave it to us. Wonderful, wonderful things. And Adam and Eve and the founding of the country, the world, they had all the genius. They just had to discover it. And they discovered weapons. They discovered music way back in the beginning. Wow. Wow. And humans, we've had all of this wonderment. And they built pyramids. We now build great big buildings with things. We don't even know how they could build pyramids like they did. But we do buildings in that because we've advanced electronically, etc. Now, so 1 Corinthians chapter 7, picking up, if I may, in verse 30, chapter 7, verse 30. They that weep as though they wept not. They that rejoice as though they rejoice not. They that buy as though they possess not. In other words, don't get caught up in the world. They, verse 31, and they that use, to use for a given purpose, to make use of for a given purpose, a given end, and they that use this world, use it. Sure you do. We eat, we grow, we plant, we have cars as opposed to horse and buggy, and we do a lot of things. That's right. Don't abuse it. Abuse it has to do with over, more and more and more. Greed. More and more and more and more and more. Don't get caught up in it. Use it. Don't get caught up in it. Greed, like the man that stored all the bonds up. And he said, boy, am I ready. I'm ready to retire, using that word. And we're all set now. And God said, you forgot. You saved all of that stuff up. But you didn't know tonight I'm going to take your soul. Now what are you going to do with all the stuff you saved? I'm going to take you tonight. And you're going to lose all of that. Wow. So God, we don't want to abuse it. We use it. It's nothing wrong with using it. It's just when you abuse it and get overly so. Knowing, for, verse 31, for the world, fashion of the world, the whole attraction, the whole wonderment of everything, the beauty, the technology, and all of that is going to pass away. They're going to pass away. You're getting caught up in it. Overly so. It's bait. It's taken you. and you're caught in the fish. Instead of paying attention out here in the world, we're caught up by the world, world's attractions, and we get attached to all kinds of things in all kinds of ways. So we want to go and make use of things properly, but not improperly. That's what we want to do. And therefore, God tells us that exercise and all these things, all of these things are good, but they're only good so much. And if we make them so much, then we overdid it. And we got locked into that which we didn't need to do. And what's it mean when you get locked in? You're caught up in getting more and more and more and more, like digging for a diamond that isn't there. And you dig and dig and dig, and you're way down, you're 10 feet down digging, and you forgot the top up top. You forgot where you went, came from. And you're down there digging, and digging, hoping to get the diamond. And you get all caught up in that. So God, you tell us not to do that. We use it immoderately, etc. Now, and the root of this word that you're looking at, use, you will do it without turning there in Luke. Remember, the woman goes to the rich person, the person, and wakes him up and says, a person has come to my house, and it's late, and I need to be hospitable, and I don't have any bread. And then she says, lend me, there's your word, lend me, let me put to my use. I want to get to use. I want some, lend me 3 loaves of bread. That means give me 3 loaves that I can use. Give me them. There's your word. 3 loaves. Not 30 loaves. 3 loaves of bread that I can use. So there's our little word. Now, over if you would, in the light of that, and we shared in the process, we shared in Mark chapter 7, and the word, not only is the word deceit a part of our heart, attitude, nature, but so is the word covetous, to be covetous. Now, over in chapter 5 of Ephesians, and in chapter 5, picking up, if I can, chapter 5, verse 5. For this, 5:5 Ephesians. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, and then it adds, who, the covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. So we don't want to get to be, we don't, covetous is part of our nature, the same as deceit and idolatry, that's right. And covetousness gets involved in a way which is idolatry. So we don't want to get into that, because when we get into that, idolatry and that, it's all idols, an image, idol means an image of the mind, in our heart, mind, and we need to be content. We need to be content. Covetous, we don't want to get covetous, overly abusing everything. We get all caught up in having. And when we do that, we're being driven. We're losing stability. We're getting caught up in gotta have. And you know gotta have. You know gotta have. You gotta trust God. That's, be very serious about your relationship to God. But don't be so serious about anything else. Make sure the most serious thing in your life is your relationship to God. The rest of it, come and go. Work, home, school, play, much, little, easy, hard. It all comes and goes, and it's fine. Now, and in the light of that, to be content, to be satisfied with what you have, to be content. Now, over, if you would, to Philippians. You aren't far away, why not? So we don't want to be covetous, caught up, it becomes idolatry. In other words, the thing that you're pursuing becomes an idol, because it takes the place of God. And God the Father said, you won't find me. All you're going to find is your idol. What you're trying to do, you aren't going to find me. Well, God, why can't we have every both? We just shared in the 6 o'clock Sunday school. You can't have both. There is no neutral ground. You're either for or against, hot or cold. You can't be, there's no neutral, not, no such thing as neutral. Now, so here, if I can, in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians in chapter 4. Picking up, if I can, verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content, to be satisfied. Wow. God, that's hard. Well, how do we, you have to learn it. The same as you learn to love. Love isn't natural. You won't find that in the works of the flesh. You won't find love. Love you'll find with God, fruit of the Spirit, but you won't find love. No, that you have to learn that. You'll either learn it rightly or wrongly, but you learn it. That's how you learn. And God, therefore, verse 11, I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. Well, how did you learn to be content? Satisfied. I know both how to abase, go down. I know how to abound, rise up. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, initiated, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Well, where did you learn all that? In the College of Hard Knocks. That's how we learn it. We learn to be content and not covetous. That's what we do. And God, we don't let our heart would deceive us. It's all in us. Covetous, deceit, idolatry, it's part of our nature. But we want to overcome it. And God, the only way we're going to do that is to look to you, and we learn how to do it as using but not abusing. And so we get caught up. And it doesn't matter. If it's taken out of your hand and you lose your joy, then that's worldliness. It should be able to come in your hand and go from your hand. It doesn't matter. It's worldliness. God hates worldliness. Worldliness is condemned by God. He hates it. So we get caught up in it. And so we're caught up with what? Father, we're caught up with the system to provide. That's the word provide. Provide. Now, so in the light of that, Matthew chapter 6, you know it. Just in my head, I could say it to you, but I'm going to let you read it. Matthew chapter, God says it about the Father all over the place, but I'm going to read just this one. Matthew chapter 6. And you will notice. And picking up, if I can, chapter 6, and in verse 30. 6 and 30, Matthew. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, it's here today and gone tomorrow, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? In other words, everything he is, it comes, it goes. That's right. Therefore, since it comes and goes, don't hang on to it tightly. Don't try to hold something that comes and goes. Therefore, take no thought. Don't have a divided mind saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Because we're trying to do all these things. And all of them boil down to power, politic, possessions. We're caught up in it. Verse 32. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek that are unsaved. For your heavenly Father knoweth all that you have need of all these things. Now God knows. God said, listen, I thought I was your father, and I'm taking care of you. Who's taking care of me? God said, I thought I was. You got saved. My son died on the cross. How did you know my son died on the cross? Because I sent him. So when you see my son, what did he say to you over and over again? When you see me, you will see the Father. When you see me, you will see my Father. My Father is presenting himself in the Son, in Jesus Christ, to the world. The Father is presenting himself to the world to know him. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, woman, boy, or girl cometh to the Father except by me, to the Father. It's all about coming to you, God. Well, then we get caught up. We never get there because we're caught up in so many different things. Work, home, school, play, family, and all of these different things you have to face. And we get caught up overly so. So God, we never get to you. We lost you because we're holding on so tight, abusing and not just using. Now, and therefore, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and underlined in your mind, all these things shall be added unto you. Doesn't it say that? Doesn't it? He said, if you put me in the right place, I take care of everything. But God, we don't mind you being father and all, whatever that means, because we got our human fathers that we understand, don't understand, like and don't like and all the rest of it. And that's our concept of father, is humans. And you got to change your concept of father. Father, mother. No, God is father. All the rest of us are just humans, faulty with old natures, full of deceit, idolatry, and covetous. So don't look to us. You want father. There he is. Wow. You can't see him. He's the father. He said, you understand I'm the father. Give me the right understanding. Don't get caught up in the worldly system, abusing, etc. You're going to lose it if you do. Don't do that. And now, so in the process, God, what are we going to do then? We're going to go and yield all that we have and all that we are come from you, God. There's nothing anywhere, in any way, shape, or form that isn't yours. Isn't yours. No matter how you cut the cookie, no matter how you do it, everything is yours, God. You're the creator. We use the created things. We use our body, which is created. We use it. We're in it. We use it. We don't want to abuse it. We don't want to prostitute our humanity. Now, so therefore, God, we're going to look to you, and we're going to trust you with all our heart, and we don't want to get into covetous. We don't want to get into discontent. We don't want something or someone to take your place in any way, shape, or form. Now, in order to see that thinking, God, is that new? No, it's very old, very old. Matthew chapter 6, 30, 31, 32, 33. Is that new? Oh, new? No, it's old. Let me show you, he said. God said, I want you to go back into history. Over, if you would, please. Over, if you would, to the book of Numbers, chapter 11. Book of Numbers, chapter 11. And the book of Numbers, chapter 11, picking up in verse 4. Now remember, the people they got out of Egypt, but Egypt didn't get out of them. Egypt was in their heart. And therefore, even though they have a new position in the wilderness, they have Egypt in their thinking. You get saved, but you got the world in your thinking. Oh, goody, I'm saved, but you're thinking world. You're caught up in the world. That's what they were. Verse 4. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before your eye. Now, manna was a perfect food. A perfect food. What would the world give now for a perfect food? How much protein? Perfect. How much calcium? Perfect. How much niacin? Perfect. Everything perfect. You mean if I just eat this, I'll be healthy? My whole body full of all the different chemicals I need. That trouble is, are we taking selenium enough? Are we taking magnesium enough? Are we taking whatever? We don't even think about it. What do? We take the whatever and we eat and hope we get stuff. And we do it. And we get caught up in that. Now, manna was perfect, perfect, perfect food, perfect food. Why should I buy Cheerios if I could get manna? Why would I do that, you see? Over, if you would, please. Now, sliding over, if you may. Remember, now, verse 13. Whence should I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. They weren't satisfied with manna. Now, over to Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16, if I can. And picking up, please, chapter 16. Remember, we're looking at the lesson. What did you help? You're trying to help Israel. In Egypt, they had all of these items. The slaves' diet, actually, in Egypt. Now, chapter 16, Exodus, verse 15. And when the children of Israel saw it, this is manna now. I got to read verse 14. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoar frost of the ground, like frost. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, "It is manna." For they wist, they knew not what it was. And Moses said unto them, "This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat." Now, and you're going to eat. Everyone gets whatever. "But this is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tent." In other words, get enough for everybody. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. In other words, I want a full plate of spaghetti. Someone says, "I just want half a plate of spaghetti." And they could pick whatever they wanted. They get a whole barrel of manna or get a little cup of manna. It's up to you. How hungry are you? What do you want? Take whatever you want. Wonderful. Hang on. As you know, verse 18. "And when they did meet, measure it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. And they gathered every man according to his eating." In other words, whether you got a lot or a little, you're always satisfied. And then God eliminated whatever was left. Eliminated it. So today you had it in your hand, and you eat satisfied, and you put it down and say, "I'm going to put it in the refrigerator for a snack." You can't do a snack. Nope. You eat it, done. No more. Not all done. You had enough, satisfied. Now, then, verse 19. "And Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning." Don't leave any left over. "Notwithstanding, they tried to." They put it in the refrigerator. Well, didn't make any difference. "They hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank." Now, that would tell you not to do that again. If it smells lousy and there's worms crawling in it. I mean, when was the last time you opened a cereal box? No offense. You opened a cereal box, and all the little things are crawling around. You know, that's no protein. There's no question. If you just bite the bullet and you're going to get extra protein, they never planned on that. Now, but, verse 21, "And they gathered to every morning, and every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted. And it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses." So they had more. So always, God, whatever you did, and every seventh day you had enough. By the sixth day, you could keep it for 2 days, and it'd be fine and enough. You didn't need any in the seventh day. Why? You're trusting me. You're learning to trust me. I said I'd take care of you. Manna is from me. I told you, I give you what you need, all you need, not all you want, all you need. And I do so to train you up, to train, to develop, to give you the confidence and comfortableness in trusting me, not the manna. Don't trust the manna. Trust me who gives the manna. And they would be, God kept them for 40 years. Their shoes never worn out. They never had a headache. As far as we know, they had no medicines. They didn't need any medicines for 40 years. No medicines. No pharmacy. Nothing. No clothes wore out. No clothes. You bought a pair of shoes, 40 years later, you still got them. I got to tell you, out in the desert, to boot. That's something awesome. And God did that. That's right. God said, listen, don't get caught up in covetousness, which is idolatry, I want you to learn to be content. Use the world, but don't abuse the world. And that's one of the key things we're going to look at in keeping so we handle things and handle them rightly. Now, having said that little bit, over, if you would please, to the Gospel of John, chapter 17. The Gospel of John, chapter 17. In John, chapter 17, may I pick up, please, in thought. I'm going to go to verse 14, if I may, a little bit. I have given them, John 17:14, our Lord is about to go into the garden and to the cross. Chapter 17, verse 14, I have given them thy word, and the world system hath hated them, because they are not of the world system, even as I am not of the world system. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil one. That's the whole thing, is avoid the whole, God saves us and gives us a brand new life. And God gives us victory in everything. And the bad guy, the prince, the power, the ruler of the God of this world, is in charge. But now he can't have you. I have you. Now, if you're going to trust me, then I'm going to take care of you in the middle of the swamp, in the middle of the muck hole, in the middle of the little path on the road. I want you to see the big picture. I'm doing something. And when I'm doing it, you can betcha, with my paintbrush as I paint, I don't make any mistakes. And the devil would like to. The world system would like to. But they can't do any more than I say. You're mine. You're bought with a price. Now, therefore looking out of a place, out of the world, verse 15, out from a source, out originating, out from the mass, out of, I'm coming out of it, out of it. Wow. So God, we're in it, you're out of it, you take us out of the world, we get saved, and we're no more part of the world system. I'll say it again. When you get saved, you're no more part of the world system. And if you understand that, which you should, if you're saved, you're not part of the world system. God took you out of it. The world, you're a foreigner. You're an alien. That your whole, your children, you went from death to life. You went from darkness to light. They love darkness. They hate light. They do everything in the world to kill light, to get rid of light. That's what's happening now as we're coming to the end of the age. That's why it's so powerful. Darkness is the power of darkness. Wow. Coming. Wow. Now, so, God, here we are looking. But we're taking out of the world, that's right, but you're left in it. You don't die and go to heaven. You don't. You stay here, but you've got an old memory. You work, your home, the school, play, you live in the same body, you have the same parents, you have the same health problems, you have the same genetic makeup, you have everything the same. It's all the same. It's just the difference is you're saved. And God didn't take you out of it. God left you in it. God left you in it. So it isn't a strange thing. It's normal. It's God saved us out of, we belong to him, but he leaves us in the body, in the world. That's right. And so therefore God, as we're in this, looking to you, and we aren't belonging to the world anymore. And we're looking, and Adam and Eve, in their wonderful way, got saved into God's program, Genesis 3:15 and all of that. And they got saved into God's program. Cain and the people in Noah's day, they did not choose God's program. They built a city and a tower, religion, politic, and they did that. They didn't want to be part of God's system. They didn't want to be. The world system's condemned. The world system, as we shared in Sunday school, never is going to get better. It isn't. If you're hoping the politic and the possessions of power, it's going to get better. No, it is never going to get better. So as long as you're holding it tight, it's never going to get any better. It's condemned already. The same as the God of this world is condemned. God has already judged him. He's judged the world system under him. And he isn't going to do it. So we're trying to make it. It isn't going to make. God, I don't want it. I'm not trying to make it come out. I'm just trying to be believers, simple believer in the middle of the world system, doing the things that I can do best I can, work, home, school, play, whatever you do, and you do it. But we aren't. We isn't here. We're strangers and pilgrims. We don't belong here. Pass the time of your sojourning here in what? In fear. Fear. So God, we're looking to you to help us. Now, in Genesis, they had a rainbow, but who pays attention to the rainbow? And Abraham and Noah and Abraham walked with God in the midst of it all. Now, Abraham, aren't you in the middle of the world just like Noah? Absolutely. But Abraham looked to God, and remember that. Why not? Over to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. And if I may, remember now, the king of Sodom, using the same truth, the king of Sodom offered him all of the booty they had except the people. I'm going to read chapter 14, Genesis 14, verse 21. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. That's a whole lot. Abraham's already doing good. And take all of that wealth. And Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. I will not take from a thread, even to a shoelace, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou should say, I have made Abraham rich, save only that which the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men which went with me, Anur, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion, booty, for the cost of the adventure, of the conquest. 15. After these things, Abraham, you turned it all down. You turned it all down. You're crazy. You could have had a lot of, wow. No, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. See, are you going to trust me? I say, are you going to trust me for what I do? I say, yes, I am. I already chose to trust you. I wasn't going to take from the world. I'm going to look to you, God. He had no idea that God would say to him after that, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. They would have never had that. Abraham, wow. God, are you going to take care? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely I am. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so we're not being of the world. We're being out from the world, in the world but not of it. And thus, here we are looking to God. And Abraham, chapter 17, walked with God in the midst. You're already there. If you're still there in Genesis, turn the page, chapter 17, verse 1. And Abram was 90 years old and nine, and the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. Well, be thou complete, whole, God. God, that's how you want. That's right. What are we supposed to do? Walk with God. That's right. And look to God. Trust God with all our heart. And Israel, you left Egypt, but you kept Egypt in your heart. So therefore, the politic and the religion stayed. You're at Mount Sinai. But, as we shared, you got a problem with Egypt in your heart, and you didn't leave it behind. So when you don't leave it behind and you keep carrying it, then you're going to have the book of Judges, as we shared. Everyone did that which is right in his own eyes. And then where are you going to go? Well, the book of Judges is going to lead us to what? 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 4, etc. What? We need to be like the world. Why should we have to dress like we do? Worship like we do? Why do we have to be different? Look at how easy the world has all of the attractions, the bait. Our heart takes, they all take the bait, idolatry, etc., deceit, covetousness. And we all take the bait, and we're in it. And look what they have. Look what they can do. They have this and they have that. And God, here we are out here, and we're just trying to go and having to be like you want us to be. God, why can't we be like them? And they became like them. And that's why Israel's over there now. You wanted to be like the world, but the world hates you. Why do they hate you? Because God has made you a special people. And they hate people that God makes special. And that includes Christians. And God made them special. Wonderfully, wonderfully special. So now, in the light of that. So therefore, if you're here in Genesis, go with me please over to see it. Maybe in the closing. Over to Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 10. Leviticus chapter 10. Picking up, if I may. And you will know, please, Leviticus 10, verse 9. Do not drink wine, nor strong drink, nor thou, nor thy sons with thee, when thou goest into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest you die. That's pretty serious. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, and that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, between unclean and clean. I want you to teach the children of Israel, verse 11. Teach them. They need to understand there's a difference. You get saved, you don't do the same, you don't think the same, you don't walk the same, you're different. God leaves you in the world, but you're not of it. So don't have your hand tight trying to hang on to stuff. That's all finished. When you got saved, that ended for you. It ended for you. You don't need it. That's my favorite vase, whatever. And don't break it. Don't break it. My whole world will come to an end. I went all the way to Tibet in the upper mountain, Himalayas, to get this. And boom, breaks. Oh, you see. It's only a vase, a vase. See? How does it affect your life? It doesn't. It doesn't. You were attached to it. That was the trouble. Wow. And God in His kindness let you break it. To free you from your idol. You see? Wow. That doesn't, don't go around now. Don't go around to people's houses and say, what's your favorite thing? And then see what you can do and smash it and say, Pastor told me to break everything that you're precious to you. Don't do that. Now, so here's Leviticus chapter 11, closing. You know it. 11, God, say it again to us. 11 and 44, 11, 43. You shall not make yourselves abominable with any creeping thing that creepeth, neither shall ye make yourselves unclean with them that ye could be defiled thereby. For I am the Lord your God, and ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy. Why? For I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, world. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy, etc. Verse 47. And to make a difference between the clean and the unclean, between the beast that may be eaten and the beast that may not be eaten, I'm teaching you to trust me with all your heart. Pay attention to what I say. It isn't important about what you eat. It's important to what you listen to and obey me. I want you to show you love me. If you love me, what? Keep my commandments, if you love me. I want to see if you love me. Honor me. That's all. That's what I'm looking for. Wow. Anyway, I hope you got a little bit on our little journey. Our Father and God, we thank you very much for what you're doing and how you do it. And God, we have to trust you with all our heart, no question. So deal with us. Thank you very, very, very much. Thank you very, very much. If you should tarry and we should live, even the hours that lie ahead, God, thank you for being there. God, make it work out according to your good pleasure. And God, we're going to be thankful with all our heart. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen.